Well, again, I want to welcome all of you to The Hill. Those of you who are guests, we just take it a real privilege that we get a chance to invest in your life. And I'm just believing and trusting that you're here today because this is the day that God wanted you here. That God's got something very important He wants to put into your heart and into your life because every day matters. Every Sunday matters. We believe that here on The Hill. And if you'll notice today that we're in this series, Come Home for Christmas. And today is about coming home to God's plan, which is a part of your life and my life. You know, there are two verses that I want us to read, and you'll find them there if you'll get out your Life Point outline. If you haven't already done that, you should have picked one of those up as you came in or have been given to you. I want to read Psalm 90, verse 1, and then Jeremiah 31, 22. And I'm reading from two different translations, so you can get this in the Bible that you have and just listen to what I'm going to share with you. Psalm 90 was written by Moses, I'm sorry, not David. And Moses wrote this to the Lord under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He said, Lord, through all the generations, you have been our home. And then Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 22. Jeremiah, under the burden of the Holy Spirit, he wrote and he was just expressing God's heart toward a lost and dying world, specifically toward wayward Israel that had wandered away with him, was in idolatry and just away from the Lord, out of relationship with him. And Jeremiah cried out with God's words and says, how long will you wander before you come home? Before you come home. You know, for many of us, I think we look forward to Christmas. Christmas is an opportunity to take off from work and usually get paid for it. It's a time for giving gifts as well as getting gifts, receiving them. But I think for virtually everybody that's probably here this morning under the sound of my voice, Christmas is about going home. People take vacation days, which are extremely important to all of us. They take vacation days to go home at Christmas. We save our money to go home at Christmas. And when home is working right, and I totally understand that not everybody here most likely came from a home that worked right. I get that. I understand it. But for those of us for whom home was a blessing, home holds, I think, a ton of positive feelings. And there's that desire, particularly at Christmas, that you want to go home. You just want to go back there. I remember talking to a young man who had come in for the holidays from school. And he said, you know, he said, I look forward to coming home at Christmas. And I said, why? And he said, well, he said, when I come home, I can really relax. And I said, it's different from school. He said, oh, yeah. He said, because when I come home, I know that mom and dad are going to take care of everything. And he said, I just kind of slipped back into that mode of when I was living at home. So I don't have to worry about setting my alarm clock. Mom and dad will wake me up. I don't have to worry about preparing meals. Mom and dad are going to do that. I just kind of slipped back into that mode that mom and dad are going to take care of things. Now, here's what I want you to understand. That same kind of emotion, that same kind of feeling, are the words that are used in Scripture to describe a relationship that God wants us to have with Him. He wants us to have that same sense. And Psalm 90, and you can go back after service and just read through Psalm 90. It is an incredible psalm. And here's the thing about Psalm 90. It is a prayer of Moses where he uses all this imagery of home to talk about God. And he said, Lord, through all generations, you have been, some translations say, our dwelling place. Others say, our home. He said, Father, through all of my life, you are my dwelling place. You are my home. You are the place of comfort and love. You are the one that gives me security. You are where I belong. And I don't know how that strikes you, but I want you to know that is how God wants you to feel about a relationship with Him. But then Moses goes a step further. If you drop down to verse 12 in Psalm 90, it says this. He says, so in light of all that, teach us to number our days. And the Hebrew there means, teach us how to add significance to the events of our life. God, help me to understand what's going on in my life. And then he says, recognizing how few my days are, help me to spend them as I should. Now that is an incredible verse. What in the world is Moses saying? What does that prayer mean? Well, if you look in your life point outline, the first point I want to share with you is the meaning of that verse. Number one, God's got a game plan. God has a game plan. And it's a game plan that's working out at Christmas. And Psalm 90, verse 12 says that life on earth is a temporary assignment. Now listen to me. I want you to understand why this message is important. I don't know what you received during this service this morning. You've heard some songs. Joel and the team have picked out some songs that are kind of fresh and new in the way that they approach it. But there's a lot about those songs that we have heard before, basic tunes and whatever. I don't know how that hits you. I don't know how long you've been coming to worship here. I don't know how long you've been in God's family. But one of the things I do know is I know that every day across America, there are men and there are women who are walking out of their homes. They're walking out on their spouses. They're walking out on their kids. I say, I love them, but I just can't live here anymore. And that same thing that is destroying homes is the same thing that is happening in the lives of a lot of believers. Their home is going on and everything. But when they come to worship here, they are simply going through the motions. I'm here because I want to be here. I'm here because this is where I belong. But the reality is that you don't get stirred anymore. The reality is that it may be kind of ho-hum. The reality is you may feel like you're just trying to start the engine and it's just like, and it just never gets started. And maybe this morning you're really realizing that for the first time, because that's what I want to put on your screen. Because that's what God's game plan is all about. God says, I want you to understand something. He said, never forget that your time on earth is a temporary assignment. Lord, help me to understand how few my days are. And help me to add significance to my days. Translation, God says, this earth is a temporary assignment for you. And he says, as my kids, I've got a game plan. And if you get involved in my game plan, I promise you, you will stay fully alive all the days of your life. And I tell you, I don't know anything that's more attractive to me than when I am an old, old man and I am still walking this earth, that I am still fully alive. I want to be fully alive right up to the end. Can you say amen to that? I don't want to just waste away. I don't want to live ho-hum. I want to be fully alive. And it all has to do with me understanding God's game plan. Look at the insight in your outline. Once we find our home in Christ, we need to point the way for others who are still seeking it. And that is what Christmas is. For every one of us this year who have found our way home to Christ, God is saying, now listen, he's saying, I want you to say yes to my game plan. And my game plan is, now listen, I have people I want you to reach. I've got somebody I want you to talk to. I've got somebody that I want to sovereignly cross your path with them. I want to put you on a collision course with them at the appropriate time in their life. And I want you to say yes to me so that I can use you to reach them through you. Why? Because God is saying to so many people here in Lufkin and Angelina County, the same words of Jeremiah, how long will you wander before you come home? I want you to know there are people you work with, there are people in your family, there are people all around you that God is wanting them to come home. God is wanting them to come to faith in Christ. There are people in your neighborhood, they're in the schools, the kids in the schools, they're in workplaces, even our own families who are wandering aimless. They're trying to find meaning in life. And the reality is, when they die, if something doesn't change, they are not going to go home to God. They're going to die and they're going to be eternally separated from Him. Now listen to me. You can never afford to forget that. We cannot forget that there are people in our city and in our county who are outside of Christ, and if somebody doesn't reach them, when they die, they are eternally separated from the Father, and they will never see heaven. Somebody's got to remember that. And God said, that's my game plan for you. God has a life plan for me and for you to fulfill. Now, here's what God is saying to us. If you want to live a maximum impact life, then He says, I want you to remember, I've got people during your lifetime I want you to reach for me. That's why Jesus said in Mark 16:15, go everywhere, meaning that I send you, and announce the message of God's good news to one and all. Now listen, if you act on this morning, I'm going to promise you two things. Number one, people wandering lost from God. If you say, Lord, here I am. I want to be obedient to your game plan. I am scared to death about talking to people. But Lord, if you open the door, if you create an opportunity, by the grace of God, I will walk through it. You open my mouth. You give me the words to say. You help me to see them where they are. God, you work in me. I'm your man. I'm your girl. I'll do it. Scares me to death, but I'll do it. If you will say that, God says, number one, people lost from God are going to find Christ. It's going to happen. You know why? Because it won't be you and me. All God is saying is, I just want you to be obedient. I'll do the rest. I want you to be obedient. And then number two, if you do that, your spiritual life is going to get stoked to the max. If you commit yourself to the plan that God, you open up the opportunity and I will faithfully point people to Jesus Christ, that He was the answer for me and He can be the answer for them. You see, when you and I live this kind of evangelistic lifestyle, that we realize every day God is going to cross our paths with somebody, or at least during the week, He's going to cross our paths with somebody that He wants us to reach out to, it puts your prayer life on like this evangelistic edge, and stuff just starts happening. Every day you ask God, Lord, give me the words that you want me to say. If you bring somebody across my path, God, I want to say the right thing. I ask you to guide me. Help me to know. It's no longer God is great, God is good. No. We're way beyond that. We get to the point where we say, God, I cannot do this on my own. I need your help. Help me to see the opportunities. Help me then to know what to say. Look at the truth in your outline. When you live God's plan, life plan, your worship takes a life of its own because you're worshiping the God of a second chance. Listen, I know that you love a dad, a mom, a brother, a sister, a cousin, a friend who is lost from Christ. I get that. You love them. But here's what you need to understand. There is a God in heaven who loves them more than you ever could. And He is a God who said, I am wanting them to come home. And all I need is I need somebody with a mouth that I can work through, that we can speak to their ear. Now, here's the deal. If you accept God's Christmas plan, those of you that are in a life group, when you are involved and you're just reading your Bible, it's going to take on a whole new life. You know why? Because you're no longer reading the Bible. You're no longer going to life group. You're no longer going to some kind of group just to learn some kind of theological truth. Whoa, you are way beyond that. I'm not trying to just get theologically astute. I am going to a Bible class. I am going to worship because I am crying out to God. I need Bible answers because there is somebody who is looking to me and is saying, what about this? What about this? What about this? You know why? Because that is a stumbling block to them. What is keeping so many people out of the kingdom are stumbling blocks. And they need somebody that they can trust, that can just speak truth to them and will help them tackle this thing and get this stumbling block out of the way. And life will change for you When you live to point people to Jesus, you daily will depend on God to show up when you open your mouth, because you know that apart from God's power, there is nothing going to happen. Let me tell you something. You will never argue somebody to Jesus. It'll never happen. You will never argue them into the kingdom. You cannot force anybody to Christ. But I'll tell you one thing. When God shows up in your conversation, something will happen. Almost 45 years ago, in my dormitory room, there was nobody there but him and me. I had just flunked a biology class test. I was on my way to flunking a class, if I kept that up. Nobody was there. I could not tell you a sermon I had ever heard in my life. I was lost as a ball in tall grass, but I believed I was going to heaven when I died. I'd been baptized in the Baptist church. I was good to go. Nobody in that room but me, and God walked in. Nobody said anything. But in an hour and a half, God put me on my face on the floor. And I was a blubbering, crying, broken young man who wanted to be a dentist and was lost, and his life was full of sin. And God, in an hour and a half, brought me to my knees. And all I'm saying is, you or I will never break anybody like that. God does it every day because He knows how to do it. And God will, if you'll say, "Father, here I am. I don't want to talk to just anybody. I want to talk to the one you want me to talk to. That's all I want to do." And many, if not most of us, don't even have that on our screen. If we were honest, we've gone through maybe the last several years of our life and we've not talked to anybody about Jesus. And I want to tell you why. Because for most of us, we have found our way to the Lord. We know we're going to heaven when we die. But here's what we have done. We have locked the door of urgency. And we have like sat down in a spiritual lazy boy recliner and we've kicked back and we have closed our eyes to the reality that people are all around us in Lufkin and Angelina County, and when they die, they're going to be forever separated from Christ. And if we don't care about them, who will? And God says, "I don't want you to reach everybody. You can't reach everybody. But I have somebody that I want you to reach. Somebody." And that's what God is interested in. And reality is, there are so many of us here in Lufkin. We know Jesus. We are smart. We are successful. We have our lives on track with God, except for one important thing. When we die and they lay our bodies in the grave, we will be going home to God, never once in our life ever having been responsible and used by God to point another man or woman to faith in Jesus Christ. And that is not a good thing. It's not a good thing. And so, number two this morning. Number one, God's got a game plan. So number two, a life example to consider. One of the guys that I enjoy reading after, and I encourage you, anytime you see a book or you hear a sermon by Lee Strobel, pick it up, buy it, listen to it. Lee's worth your time. His life, when he started telling his story, his life was, he was a journalist and he was an atheist. Far away from God, had no desire for God, did not believe in God. But something happened. God invaded his home. And Lee Strobel's wife came to faith in Christ. And it was through that Lee's resistance and his wall began coming down. And Lee came to faith in the Lord, and God didn't immediately call him into ministry, although he did later on. But Lee tells his story that he attended a funeral of one of his friends named Bill. And he said at the funeral, he said the pastor got up, and this is what he said. He said, "Here's what we're going to do. If you're going to be in heaven someday, because God used Bill," this guy whose funeral it was, "because God used Bill to bring you the message of life in Jesus Christ, if God used Bill to point you home to heaven, I want you to come to one of these microphones." They set up two or three microphones there in the funeral service. "I want you to come to one of these microphones, and I just want you to briefly tell us your story and how Bill brought you to faith in Christ." And so Lee said it wasn't long. He said there was one of the microphones that people were standing 10 deep. Just all these people was coming forward. And there are three principles that came out that Lee shared that I want to give to you this morning. This is in your notes. From these testimonies, there are three principles that Bill lived by that helped him to reach other people for Jesus Christ. Oh, here they are. Number one, never give up on people far from God. If you've got a loved one, a friend who just looks like they're just totally resistant, never give up on somebody far from God. Bill had a child, it was his childhood friend, came to the microphone. He was the first one to speak. And he said, "I was going through a midlife crisis." And he said, "I divorced my wife. I quit my job. And I went off to what I consider an exotic place to just find a new life." He said, "Well, that life went downhill. And in misery, I moved back to Chicago." And he said, "Bill got a hold of me. And he wouldn't let go. And he would come every weekend and invite me to church. And then he got to invite me to come to his Bible study on Mondays. And he said, I would learn more about the Lord." And he said, "Bill's commitment to stick with me is why I came to commit my life to Christ." Then Bill said he'd like to meet my son and daughter. And he built a relationship and a friendship with my two children. And in 6 months, both my teenagers gave their life to Jesus Christ. And then Lee said the man started weeping at the mic as he described how he and his two teenagers were baptized together in that church, all because Bill was true to Christ and wouldn't give up on him. He just wouldn't quit. So number one, don't give up on people. Number two, meet people's needs practically. If you want to reach somebody for Jesus, meet their need in a practical manner where you can. There's a woman named Mary who stood to share. She said, after 18 years of marriage and two children, she said, "I remember the day that my husband walked in, went to the bedroom, pulled out his suitcase, packed his bags, and he walked out of the house not saying a word to me or to the kids, and he walked out the door and he never came back. I was scared, I was depressed, I felt hopeless, and I was in desperate need of finances." She said, "I had already had a relationship with Bill and Millie," his wife. And she said, "They rallied around me. Even though I didn't know Christ, they reached out to me." And she said, "They asked me to go to church with them, and it was good for me to hear that God is a husband to women who have lost theirs. It was so encouraging." And she said, "I will never forget that day where God really touched me." Said, "Bill and Millie, after church, took me out to lunch, and they encouraged me, and their words to me was, 'God has not forgotten you, Mary. God will be there for you. Reach out to him.'" And she said, as we stood up to leave after eating, she said, "I reached out my hand and Bill shook hands with me." And she said, as Bill and Millie turned to walk away, she said, "I realized there was something in my hand." And she said, "I looked down," and she said, "there were two $100 bills folded up in my hand." And she said, "I came to understand that Bill had a place in his wallet where he squirreled away some money. And every day his prayer was, 'Lord, lead me to somebody today that I'm supposed to give this to. Somebody that I can show that you care for them.'" And so there were a lot of days that God didn't do it. But every now and then, God would bring a Mary into his life. And he would invest in them and let them know that God cared. So here's Lee's truth. I give it to you in your outline. Words are great and bring comfort, but when combined with tangible expressions of the grace of God, there is something that cuts deep into a person's soul. Never give up. Meet needs practically where you can. And then number three, make the most of every opportunity that God gives you. The last man to speak that day, Lee said, was Bill's business partner. And Bill, his partner said, I was there with Bill the last day of his life when he took his last breath. He said, I remember that day, said we were, he was getting a chemo treatment because he kept him right up to the end. And said Bill's wife, Millie, would be with him during the day and then I'd be with him at night during his journey. And said Bill hated chemo. He hated the needles. But he loved the opportunity to reach people for Christ. And here were people with cancer, captivated for hours, and a great opportunity to encourage them and point them to a God that regardless of what happened, he was going to be there for them. And he said, I remember that day I walked in and said Bill was in a drug-induced state because of the sickness from the chemo. And he really didn't know where he was or what day it was, but said tending to him at that moment was a nurse by the name of Sophie. And said, as I got close to Bill's bed, as he was laying there, this was his deathbed, I heard coming out of his mouth these words, Sophie, I'm going to die. When you die, do you know for sure that you're going to go to heaven? Because I do. And I want you to have that same hope and that same peace. And he said, the incredible story of this man's heart and life is he never gave up. He did what he could to meet practical needs. And he took chance. He took every opportunity to share Christ with somebody. So let me close this morning with three steps in a story. How do you live this life? How do you do it? Number one, see individuals, not crowds. We've got so much to do this Christmas season. You've got presents to buy. You've got places to go. You've got parties to attend. You're just so busy. And you know, everything's crazy out there. People going here and there, and there's a lot of lights and sounds and all of this. God says, when you get out, don't get lost in the crowd. See individual people. Look at people's face. There are people all around that God is going to lead you at some time to one of them. And there are people who are separated from God. They don't know him. They think they do, many of them, but they don't know him. And every person matters to him. And God says, my goal is, just like my son did, Jesus would walk through the crowds and individual people would reach out to him. And he would say, what do you need? What do you need? Because Jesus saw individuals, not crowds. And then number two, search for a point of need. In other words, if God lets you stay in connection with somebody, find out what their need is. As you leave this morning, we've got a card like this that I want to make available to you. You can get three or four of them. These are invite cards for Christmas morning. On the back side of them, it says, you're invited. Come home for Christmas at Harmony Hill Baptist Church. Two Christmas morning services, 9:30. Bring your children for our candlelight service and our special Christmas message. I gave one of these away last night. There was a checkout person at a store where I do business. And I seek this person out every time I'm in there whenever I see them. Because I want a doorway into their heart. And I don't know what's going on in their life. All I know is that God has put them on my screen. So I don't know what's going to happen. But last night, I just reached out and I just went. And she said, what's that? And I said, it's my personal invitation to come to the hill. She said, the hill? I said, yeah. She said, Harmony Hill? I said, that's it. And I'd love for you to come Christmas morning. She said, oh, all right. Now, I have no idea whether she will or not, but I'm not through with her yet. So, it's a work in progress, okay? So, that means I have got to go buy more, but that's all right. You see, I don't know what kind of door God's going to open. I may not be the one. All I know is she's on my screen. And there's a reason. And I just want to be available to that. And as you leave this morning, we'll make these available to you. We printed 1,000. If we get them all done, we'll have another 1,000 next Sunday. So you be sure and get some of these as you leave. Because there are people out there that are lonely. They're despondent. They're fearful. They have addictions. And in every one of those, they just need Jesus. They just need Him. He will lead them through the issues of their life. And then number three, ask God for guidance. I mean, my whole thing is, I have no idea what to say to these people. I don't know. And so I'm saying, God, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I don't know how I'm supposed to speak to them. I don't know. All I know is I want to be gracious. I want to be kind. And I just want to put the invitation out there. And then I'm trusting you'll open up some doors. Lee came to faith in Christ after his wife came to the Lord. And he said, before God called me to preach, just at the very beginning of my walk with him, he said, I was a newspaper editor there in Chicago. And he said, God just began working in me. And I want you to listen very carefully to what he said, because I'm going to close with this. He said, I began to pray every day this prayer. And this was his prayer. Lord, I'm just an ordinary guy. And if there is a way that you could use me to influence someone else for eternity, then I'm your guy. I would love to be used in that way. So God, I'm asking you to give me courage because I am scared to death to do it. I have no idea how I'm going to do this. He said, well, one day I felt this impression to invite another atheist who worked at the newspaper. He was down in the business office, to invite him to come to church with me at Christmas. So he said, now I had visions of grandeur. I just knew this guy was going to come faith in Christ. He was probably going to surrender to missions. He was going to win thousands of people across the world before he died and went to heaven. He said, I just knew this was going to be a great, great deal. He said, so I walk in, and these are Lee's words. He said, hey, hope things are good. So Christmas is coming, and are you going anywhere for Christmas services? No. Well, I go to a great church, and I'd love to bring you. You want to come with me? No. Well, do you ever think about spiritual issues? No. Do you want to? No. Got any questions about God that I could maybe help you with? No. He said, I left that day thinking, I am a total failure. And he said, I just thought, that's it. You know, I don't know. 12 years later, he says, I'm pastoring church. And he said, a guy walks up. I have no idea who this guy is. 12 years later, he walks up after service, and these are his words. This is what he said. He said, I want to thank you, Pastor, for the impact you've had on my life. And Lee said, I don't know who you are. He said, well, 12 years ago, I lost my job. I had no savings, and the bills were mounting. And I called a friend who worked as a publisher at a newspaper and asked if he had work, as I really needed the money. And he asked me, can you do tile work? And he said, yeah, I can. He said, well, we've got some tile work to be done, so you're hired. He said, well, one day I'm on my hands and knees behind a desk in the business office of a newspaper, and you came in, and you never saw me, and you talked to this guy about God and invited him to church. And I remember he declined big time. But he said, what you didn't know is behind that desk, I was on my knees, and my heart was pounding out of my chest as I heard you talk. He said, I realize I need God, and I need to go to church. And I phoned my wife when I was able to get out of there, and I told her that we were headed to church that weekend, and I knew exactly what church we were going to go to. And he said, I just want you to know, he said, my wife and me and my two kids came to faith in Christ. And he said, my whole family is going to heaven when we die. And he said, I just want to thank you. He said, because you reached me and you didn't even know you were doing it. God will never let anything you do in His name be a waste. Be a waste. Would you bow your heads for a moment? Heads bowed and eyes closed. I want to ask you this morning to just do one thing as we get ready to go. The ushers are going to be at the back in a few moments. If you want to give your tithe or an offering there, we'll give you an opportunity to do that. You can give to missions in the missions boxes, really, and that's what we do as a church. But this morning, we are talking about how to stay fully alive in Jesus Christ. And this morning, We're understanding from Scripture that means that we stay fully alive to His plan. That God, here I am. And Lord, I want to be used. And if you open a door of opportunity to speak to someone, I'm your man. I'm your girl. I'm your woman. I'll do it. I'm scared to death, and so I ask you to give me courage. Would you this morning, by just standing where you are, would you join me during this Christmas season to say, Lord, use me this Christmas to help somebody to you? I have no idea what that looks like. I don't know how you're going to do it, but I just want to say I want to be available because I want to be fully alive to you. I want to be fully alive. And God, I want you to use me. And if that's true, I want you just to stand wherever you are. Just stand where you are, quietly, reverently, heads bowed, eyes, nobody's looking around. This is between us and the Lord. I just want to be fully alive to the Lord. Amen. All over this place, you're standing. Thank you. Thank you so much. Now, Father in heaven, thank you this morning. Thank you for this great opportunity we have to bring people to you. It won't be us. It will be you speaking through us. You giving us the words, you giving us the sense of seeing where they're hurting, what their needs are, what their stumbling block is. And then God, you making us fully alive in our Bible study, fully alive in our worship, fully alive in worship, that we are listening for clues and insights from the Word of how to speak to people in the needs of their life. Thank you, Father, for what you're doing. Thank you, Lord, for breathing new life inside of us through your game plan. This is why we're here, that we would be your instruments to lead other people into a meeting with you. You will draw them to yourself. You will break them down. You will cause them to see their sin. You will convict them. We are simply tools. And so God, here we are. Bless us with your blessing. As we leave, may this offering honor you, may it be used to spread the kingdom across this Angelina County, this city, for the cause of Christ. Grow us according to your plan, O Lord. Fill this place. Stir the baptismal waters for the kingdom's sake. We pray in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.